Good evening, everyone. It's a pleasure to be back in Charlottetown. I spoke to the youth group here a couple of weeks ago, but it's certainly nice to be with you. I think when Kara and I were last here, she was pregnant with our second when we left to go back to Montague, and now we've got four. And Kara was saying this afternoon that some of you haven't even met the youngest two yet, so she's got them with us tonight. And life with four is fun and busy. There's some here that have four. Before I left the house today, I brushed my teeth with Barbie toothpaste and ran out the door without supper, so that sums up life with four, I think. If you'd like to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, I'd like to do some reading from chapter 1 to begin. The topic of this evening's message, something that I was thinking about a little while ago and I kind of studied out a little bit, not an in-depth study, but it was just interesting and encouraging to me, and certainly some verses that excited me and some verses that challenged me. And we're going to do quite a bit of page flipping tonight. Sometimes I like to kind of tell a story through various Bible verses, and that's going to be kind of the objective of the message tonight as we look at light versus darkness. That's a theme that is popular in the world today in various forms, whether it be culture or religion or different things of that nature, as light versus darkness. We see it the theme of stories and movies and religion and these types of different things. So we're going to keep our eyes kind of keen as we look for those themes and the things that we read this evening. John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." We'll just end our reading there and commit our time to the Lord in prayer. Father, we endeavor to look into your word this evening and to glean truth there. Father, we just ask that you would soften each heart here. Father, to receive a blessing from you. Father, if I could just be an empty vessel that you work through, and Father, that you could shed some light abroad in our hearts this evening to draw us closer to Christ. Perhaps there is somebody here who yet remains in darkness and in the shadow of death, that they may have an encounter with the true light that lighteth every man. And that is your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. There's a lot of great references to light and darkness just in this passage, and that's kind of why I got started here. I kind of wanted to wet our whistles a little bit there. And really, we could probably just stay here for the night and think on some of these things. But as I said, I want to kind of take a journey through the Bible looking at light versus darkness. And also mentioned in this passage is some about creation. And that is a good place for us to start. So I want to go back to Genesis chapter 1. And I kind of have this broken up into five different little sections. The first is creation. We'll see the beginning of light. The second is life without Christ, Christlessness. Three is a moment of conversion. Four is continuing on with Christ in our lives, and the last one is eternity. So we'll look at this topic through those five different points. And we'll begin with creation. That's usually a pretty good place to start. And as I said, I'm not going to get into anything too deep, but we're just going to kind of follow some things here. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And so even from these simple verses at the very beginning of the Bible, we can learn some of the important differences between light and darkness. We see that in verse 3, God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And so we see that there is division between light and darkness from the very beginning. And God saw the light that it was good. And it also mentions in verse 5, God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. That's interesting because often through the Bible, you can kind of see that theme play out of light versus darkness in the imagery of day and night. And some examples of that I thought of just off the top of my head, in John chapter 13, you don't have to turn to a lot of these references, I just want to kind of make mention of them. And you probably know many of these, but in John chapter 13, and the four verses there, verse 26 to 30, speaks of Judas' betrayal of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was at the Last Supper with him, and Christ spoke to him, and he left the company there, and it says, and he went out immediately, and it was night. And we think of that dark time when Judas left to betray the Lord Jesus Christ, and so we see some imagery there. And often you notice when you see that in the Word of God, you can kind of connect the darkness or evil deeds or a state of darkness with these terms. Another time, interesting, was Nicodemus in John chapter 3 in verse 2. It says that he came to Jesus by night. And when I was looking at that a little bit further, when you see Nicodemus mentioned, it's usually mentioned with his name that he was the one that came to him by night. And it was a time in his life when he was without Christ, when he was without the light of the glorious gospel in his life, but he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ, and he left that darkness and entered into the light of the gospel. And so there's some interesting, you can look for that in your reading when you see those things. And so we're going to keep those things in mind, and so I want to think about that, being without Christ and being in darkness, or night, if you were. So the next several verses that I have to look at here are, we're going to refer to, are dealing with being without Christ in the world. And the first one I want to look at is Luke chapter 1, verse 79. That, of course, is the account of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, but there's some interesting references in there to this theme that we're considering. Luke chapter 1 and verse 79. And it says there, "To give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace." And so I pulled out from some of these verses what the darkness is. Some of these verses may talk about light or may not mention something directly, but we can kind of infer a few things from them. And so the reason that Christ came, that we read here about his coming, was to give light to them that sit in darkness. And so the first thing that we can see, without Christ, we have an abiding or a sitting in darkness. It says the sit in darkness and the shadow of death. And so that is our state without Christ, is an abiding in darkness and in death. That is the hopelessness in this world of being without Christ. In John chapter 12 and verse 35, Jesus speaking there, it says, "He that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth." And so from that verse, we can see that when we are in darkness, we do not know where we are going. Without Christ in this world, often you talk to people and they have a sense of being lost. They don't have direction in their life, and they don't know where they're going. And we read that in John chapter 12 and verse 35, Christ says that when you walk in darkness, you do not know where you go. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14, there's a nice reference about our state in this world without Christ. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And as I mentioned, we don't see it mentioned darkness directly, but it speaks of Christ giving us light. And there's a couple things that mentions that we should do. It says, awake from sleep and arise from the dead. So without that light to do those things for us, we see that we are dark, in death, and in slumber. We're asleep to the things of God. And we are, again, as was mentioned in the other verse, we are dead in this world without Christ. In John chapter 3 and verse 19, there's actually some nice verses. John chapter 3 and verse 16, I've mentioned this different times, but one of my favorite things is looking at verses that surround or come after very popular verses, such as John chapter 3 and verse 16. It's like a very bright spot, and people are familiar with it, and often we go there, and we know that so well that we kind of just get drawn into that bright spot so easily, but there's some beautiful things around it. And I like to do that popular verses. I like to look at the verses that are around them. And this is one of those instances where it has some very nice verses. But in John chapter 3 and verse 19, it tells us there that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. And in verse 20, it says, everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. They don't want to come into that light lest their deeds should be reproved. And I believe that that is one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ was hated while he walked this earth. I say, well, who could hate him because of all the wonderful things that he did? And he personified love. We read in John about how he was manifested. That word manifested was he was made evident. He was made real to us. He embodied so many things of the character of God. How could he be hated? It was because he was a light, and he shone in darkness. And the problem with that in the lives of men is that our hearts are dark and our deeds are evil, and we don't like those being exposed. We don't like our evil deeds being exposed. And anytime somebody does that, perhaps you've had an instance of that where somebody calls you on something that you've done. Sometimes we can get our back up and we get very prideful and defensive, and we don't like that, even though it may be totally true. And we'll argue it, even though we know we're wrong. That can happen easily. And Christ was perfect, and he was pure, a pure light that came into the world. And he shone right into the hearts of men, and he showed their evil deeds and the darkness that was there. And men hated him for that. Especially we see the confrontations that he had with the religious leaders. Often the times that were good times when he had encounters with men were those who were humble and who realized their sinful state, those who were sick and in need of a physician, those who suppose that they're well have no need of a physician. But that is one of the reasons why the Lord Jesus Christ was hated. It's kind of a mystery when we love Christ, maybe to understand that. But perhaps you can think back. Some of us were saved at a young age, some later in life, and you can remember more vividly perhaps a time when you were opposed to Christ. And perhaps you can remember when you were opposed to the Word of God because it was like a light shining into your life and you didn't want to examine your life. And so that's what it's like to be without Christ. It's to love darkness rather than light. It's to oppose light. And in John chapter 1 and verse 5, from a passage that we read there, it says that the light shines in darkness and the darkness comprehended it not. Without Christ, it seems that we can't even comprehend the things of God. It's a difficult situation to be in. And we see that kind of further elaborated on if you want to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm looking at verse 3. If you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn to this one. Second Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And so we see, really, this is kind of a great capstone for this first section. It summarizes everything up very well, what we've been talking about. Without Christ in this world, the devil is the god of this world. That's who's mentioned here in this passage. And he is active in this world to keep us from Christ. The gospel, of course, is the good news of salvation, that Christ died for our sins. If that gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost. It says, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan. Satan has blinded the minds of them who do not have the gospel. It says, lest the light of that glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them. And so that's the whole problem in this world, is that we are in the darkness of blindness. Blindness is like, I was trying to think about that, because it doesn't mention directly here darkness, but you think what it means to be blind is to be in utter darkness. But it's a darkness that even if somebody was in the room and turned on the light, you don't get to enjoy the benefit of that light because the light's turned on. Light dispels darkness, but if you're blind, you don't even get to enjoy that. And that's what Satan is active in doing today, is to, even when the light is coming to us, he's trying to keep us blinded to it. And so it's the darkness of blindness, which to me seems to be an extra measure of darkness. So the next section I want to look at is the moment of conversion. And what I mean by that is when Christ comes into a person's life and changes them, takes them from darkness to light. And I love this passage, this section that we're going to look at, because there's some beautiful verses in the Word of God that speak about this that really excite me. And the first one I want to look at to kind of build the story of this is in 1 John. We mentioned this one already. Not 1 John, sorry, John chapter 1 and verse 4. It tells us a little bit about Christ. We know we read this passage in the opening, speaking of Christ. It says, in him, that is Christ, was life. In him was life. Now, we talked about being without Christ and what that meant for us when we're without Christ in darkness is slumber, it's death, the shadow of death. But in him, that is in Christ, was life. And the life was the light of men. It says, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Verse 7, the same came for a witness, speaking of John the Baptist, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. John wasn't the light, but Christ was. He was sent to bear witness of that light, to bear witness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And I love this reference in Luke chapter 2. I thoroughly enjoy the Christmas story. It's one of my favorite themes, and it's a very special time of year, and it's one that I love to go back to even throughout the year. It doesn't seem to be, for some reason, it doesn't seem to be an extremely popular thing to do, to go back to Christmas when it's not Christmas time, but I love to do that. At home, I actually tried to sing some Christmas carols one time in the summer, and it kind of went over like a lead balloon a little bit, but I thought it was kind of nice. But we certainly should be thinking about Christ in all aspects of his life whenever it suits the situation. And so I want to look at this reference in Luke chapter 2 and verse 25. It says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. I love this little part of the story. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And that to me is so exciting. I just try to imagine what it was like to be in Simeon's shoes there.
Israel had waited for the Messiah for a long time, and from the beginning of time with Adam and Eve, it was a promise of a Savior who would come. And so they were looking for this Savior all through their history. And here's Simeon, this godly man, and the Holy Ghost was upon him and revealed to him that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And so you can imagine waiting out the days of your life thinking, when's he going to come? I know I'm going to see him in my lifetime. How exciting that would have been. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God. So you can imagine this moment for Simeon as he's waited to see the Savior, the Christ of Israel. And he picks him up, this baby, in his arms, and he knows what he's holding. And he says, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. And this is the verse that I love, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And that is, it's touching on a couple of levels from Simeon's point of view, of course, to be able to handle the Lord Jesus Christ as a baby and to know what this means. And to say this, and you just kind of have to enjoy his reaction to this. Let thou thy servant depart in peace, according to thy word. So many beautiful things here. Mine eyes have seen thy salvation. And the salvation was, we talk about the plan of salvation so often, but I love to think of salvation as the person of salvation. And that's what Simeon experienced here. It says, which thou hast prepared before the face of all thy people, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And there was the hope there of Israel, but the extra little thing that Simeon puts in here, and this, honestly, I've just been kind of thinking about it a little bit, it's lost on me a little bit, because we don't really live in a society where we can appreciate the differences between the Jews and the Gentiles too much, but at that time, to speak something like this was quite amazing, I believe. Because this Messiah was come for Israel, was come for the Jewish people, God's chosen people. But he says here, a light to lighten the Gentiles. And that's why we can sit here and have access to Christ now. And we kind of lose an appreciation for that sometimes, I think. But in God's infinite wisdom, he's made available to us his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was a light to lighten the Gentiles. And what a privilege that is for us. It truly is wonderful that he came into the world in such a fashion, with such purpose, to fulfill all the will of God. But we see also, kind of on the other side of that coin, what he had to endure to accomplish that. We're going to go to Luke 22 and verse 53. Stay in the book of Luke. We're going to see the end of his life. Luke chapter 22 and verse 53. We can read verse 52 to go with it. Then Jesus said unto the chief priests and captains of the temple and to the elders, this is after they had taken the Lord Jesus Christ, after he was betrayed and taken, and it says, which were come to him, be ye come out as against a thief with swords and staves. When I was daily with you in the temple, he stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness. And so I look at this time in history, when the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed and he was taken to be crucified, it's when it seems like all of the power of darkness, this is your hour, the hour of darkness. This is, all that power was all bent in against the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. I think that he had at this time the full attention of the spiritual world, whatever. I don't fully understand all that takes place in the spiritual world, not by any means, but I imagine that all eyes were on the Lord Jesus Christ at that time, at this hour, this stage of history. The power of darkness. And there was a time of darkness where they took the Lord Jesus Christ with wicked and evil intent. And then to go with that, we'll stay in Luke, but there's other references to the other cross-references in the Gospels. Let's look at chapter 23 and verse 44. And we all know this one. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. It was 3 hours of darkness, which there was judgment for sin. There was a transaction that took place between the Father and the Son, and it was dealing with sin. And it says there was darkness over all the earth. It was a special kind of a darkness. It was midday, the sixth hour. From what I understand, the way that they measured their hours was kind of from the sunrise, which at that time I think would be about what we know as 6 in the morning. And so the sixth hour was the sixth hour from sunrise. It would be high noon at that time until 3 in the afternoon. It says there was darkness, the brightest time of the day, over all the earth. And there was a darkness there. And to accomplish our salvation, to rescue us from the darkness, Christ went into the very heart of darkness. He took upon himself our sins there at Calvary. That's what took place. In order to defeat it, as it were, to overcome that evil, that power of darkness, he went into the very heart of it. When all the power was of darkness was bent inward on Christ, that he went and he conquered sin. But then, after that, we have these wonderful verses. Let's go back. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 already. There's a couple of verses right after that that stir our hearts. It talked about, remember as we read it, the blindness from the God of this world, keeping the glorious gospel, the light of the glorious gospel from us. And then in verse 6, it says, For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and this moment as I kind of put these verses together, I kind of imagine Christ on the cross and those 3 dark hours entering into the very heart of darkness, and I kind of imagine this as a triumphant verse after that. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that is what it's all about. That light conquering darkness, God commanded it to shine out of darkness and to shine into our hearts the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll turn then to Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. See another beautiful verse here in Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. These verses kind of give me goosebumps. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18, it says, To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. To open their eyes. We spoke about that blindness that was kind of an extra measure of darkness. It says to open their eyes, to free them from the blindness, and to turn them from darkness to light. How beautiful is that, what the Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, you don't have to turn to all these. I'll read a couple of them to you. Romans chapter 13 and verse 12, it says, The night is far spent, and there we have kind of that theme again, the night is far spent, the day is at hand, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So much beautiful imagery in the Word of God when I was examining this theme of light versus darkness. We talked about in the beginning how God called the light day and the darkness he called night. says the night is far spent, and perhaps you're here this evening without Christ in your life, and you've spent your life in darkness, in night. It says it's far spent. And to me, that doesn't limit itself to age. You may be a young person here without Christ, or you may be an old person here without Christ. But one thing that I've seen in the testimonies that I've heard of people who have put their faith in Christ, no matter what age they were, I guess with the exemption maybe of someone who was very young, who got saved at a very young age, was that they wished they had got saved earlier so they could have done more for the Lord, so they could have got started earlier. And so when it says the night is far spent, I don't think that's limited to how old you are. Whatever point you're at in your life right now, don't spend any more time in the darkness than you need to. The day is at hand. The moment is right now. God is calling now. It says, let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. And what a high calling we have. It says, put on the armor of light. There's work to be done for the Lord. Let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And so that is the section that I kind of title conversion. That's the moment of conversion, that moment of repentance when we cast off the works of darkness. But there's so many verses. I have a large number of verses here that refer to the Christian life, continuing on in the Christian life. And they're verses that encourage us. They tell us something about the light, and they tell us how we ought to live. They teach us about the character of God and the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's some other things that I want to get to as well. So I won't get you to turn to all of them or perhaps even reference all of them, but it's a very interesting little study, and it's nice to kind of learn more of the character of light, and that is the character of God and His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14, that's a section there that we're familiar with about not having fellowship with or having an unequal yoke. But it says there also in that verse, what communion hath light with darkness? So when we enter into this Christian life, we have to remember to separate ourselves from sin and from that old life the same way that light separates itself from darkness. What communion hath light with darkness? We don't have communion with darkness anymore. We ought not to. We have the power to overcome that. In John chapter 12, I'm going to turn to this one. John chapter 12 and verse 36 and in verse 46, two verses I want to look at here. Verse 36 says, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. It says, that ye may be the children of light. And he calls us to be children of light. And in verse 46, he says, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Or once, remember, we looked at those verses at the beginning, we had an abiding in darkness. It says he doesn't want us to abide in darkness anymore as Christians. He has come a light into the world. If we believe in him, we don't dwell in darkness any longer. We put off those works of darkness. And if we go back to John chapter 8 and verse 12, John has some wonderful verses about referencing Christ and the light and this theme for the life of the saints. John chapter 8 and verse 12, he says this, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. And that is what we carry with us, is the light of life. And we are not to walk in darkness. So we see that we are not to abide in darkness. We're not to sit and to dwell there. Nor are we to walk in darkness, to participate in darkness. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 8 and 12, it says that we are to walk as children of light. We've seen that theme already, to walk as children of light. And it also says there to reprove darkness, not just to not participate, but actually to be active against it, to reprove darkness. That's in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 and verse 12. There's a verse in Colossians that I like, in chapter 1, verse 13. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, and it speaks there about being delivered. It says in verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. We could stop and dwell on those verses for a while, couldn't we? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We are now, because of Christ, referred to as the saints in light. There's lots of verses that we have that speak about being in Christ and abiding in Christ. And here we have that just spoken out in a different way, that we are in light, partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. The one who has delivered us from the power of darkness, does he not deserve our efforts to live in the light? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5 says, ye are the children of light, not the children of darkness. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9, I like that verse there. It says that we are to show forth his praises. It reminds us that we are called out of darkness into his marvelous light. Called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that verse gives us purpose in our Christian lives to show forth his praises in this world, that we can be an example to those around us. We can be a testimony through our lifestyle to those who are without Christ, that we can show forth his praises. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8, I'll read you, this will just be the last verse that we have in this section, and then we're going to finish up. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. I like the way that that's written. The darkness is past and the true light now shineth. And so we have a responsibility. We have a lot of verses that talk about our continuing in Christ in this world, relating to light versus darkness. There's some verses that speak to us of the character of God. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, we're right there, it says, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light. That was the first verse that my kids memorized. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Teaches us something about the character of God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. And in verse 6, it says that if we say we have fellowship with him, we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And I wouldn't get through this message very well, I don't think, if I didn't read from the Gospel of Matthew. You probably don't have to turn there because I'm sure you know it. But when I was a young person, this was a verse that convicted me in the way that I lived my life and witness to my friends and those around me. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 14 says, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." That spoke to me greatly when I was a young person, that we are the light of the world, and that we shouldn't be hiding that light, but we should be letting it shine. And so there's a lot of verses that give us a high calling as we continue to walk this Christian life. In closing, we think about eternity. And just to close briefly with this, there's two things. The first one, I'll refer to two verses. Jude verse 6 says, "And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day." It says that they are in darkness. So it's referring to the angels that kept not their first estate. And so there's a place where they wait for their judgment, and it is in darkness. And they will receive the judgment of hell for all of eternity. That is the original purpose of hell was to punish those fallen angels, and then mankind fell into the same wickedness, disobedience, and they left God and his purposes and went into darkness, and that judgment now awaits man. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 13 speaks of that darkness for all of eternity. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 13. "Then said the king to the servants, bind him hand and foot and take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." So we see for those eternal references to darkness and hell, the second death, and that darkness, that outer darkness, that eternal darkness, is where Christ is not. They will never be able to enjoy Christ for all of eternity. But for those of us who have believed, and he is precious, we can look at Revelation chapter 21, and this is just such a beautiful way to finish this. I love to finish with this verse, and I'm sure you know where I'm going with this. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 23 says, "The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it. For the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof." Father, we thank you this evening for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, that he went into the very heart of darkness for us. Father, your word tells us that our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. They're dark. And he took all of our sin upon himself on the cross of Calvary, that we may have a victorious and an enlightened life, that we could show forth your praises, Father, because of him. The light of the glorious gospel, which is in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ. So many beautiful verses we have read this evening. If there's anyone here without him, they know the loneliness. They know the hopelessness of being without Christ. Father, help them to come to the light, that their eyes would be opened, freed from the blindness. They would put on the armor of light, full of purpose. Father, how wonderful is your Son. And we live our days out on this earth with purpose, and we look forward to that time where the Lamb will be the light of all things that we enjoy. Father, praise his name. We thank you so much for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.